You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope everybody had a great weekend and you're doing well. We got Matt Keegan back on with us tonight, man, to share a little bit of topics. I think we got a good topic tonight to talk about tonight, a little passion in here. I know this is going to be some passion thrown around on this topic. Definitely in for a treat tonight. Caesar.
Justin.
Hey, Caesar.
Hi, Justin.
That's all.
All right, bye. The clarity statement? Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate you, Caesar.
The Hope Shot clarity statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Thank you, Caesar. And I just want everybody to know that Caesar actually practices that in front of the mirror every single day just so he can get better for y'all.
Every morning. I'm like, you can do this, bro.
We're going to get right into the topic. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit about a sore subject, man, that's just taking everybody out. It's fentanyl. Fentanyl. Let's talk about fentanyl. It's a life or death. And Matt brought this topic because he had something hit close to home. I'm going to let him talk about this topic real quick to bring it in.
Yeah, thanks, man. Right now, it's that staggering thing. I know we all hear it over and over again. Every 11 minutes, somebody dies. And I hear the term all the time. It's the opioid epidemic. It's drug overdoses. And I'm sure that there are relapse overdoses from that. But the main thing is fentanyl and carfentanil. That's what's killing people. And I just think that it needs to be talked about a lot more at a lot bigger level, because it just seems that not much is being done about it. And yeah, definitely had something hit close to home. Somebody that I know personally just passed, you know, from a fentanyl-laced pill. And they didn't even really do drugs. They didn't do opiates. And that's the crazy thing. They're putting it in Adderall pills. They're pressing Adderall pills now. They're pressing Xanax pills. All the pills they got, you can't trust anything anymore. And even people that don't even mess around like that are dying from this. And I don't mean to catastrophize, but I'm terrified for the future, because it just seems like the trend that we've been on, every year that passes, it consistently gets worse. And the people that can do something about it are not doing anything about it. We know where it comes from. We know how it's brought in. And still, we're just sitting here just, you know, there's just so much bureaucracy behind it. It's like, man, just, we're the only nation in the world. This is the only place in the world that's struggling with this. If you look at, I just seen like a map and it showed like where all like the main fentanyl deaths are. And it's really just concentrated in the United States. And there's actually a company, or not a company, but a group that I went out and I run around with. And it's the Lost Voices of Fentanyl group. I don't know if you heard of them. They do a rally in Washington every year where they bring a whole group of like moms and dads who have lost children to the fentanyl, and they march them right up in front of the White House, and they want to categorize it as a weapon of destruction. So that way we can really get in there and do something about it, because this is chemical warfare at this point. And I don't know, man, it's just hard watching this happen. And then on top of that, I just went to a funeral just last month of somebody that we knew personally here in town. Fentanyl, it's not a question anymore, you know. And there's enough of us at this point where we're sitting here talking, we're like, we got to take it to these people, man. I'm not a legislative individual. For me, it's just, I'm very passionate about this. And I hate watching our people die from this. Used to be back in the day, back when I ran around 06, 07, 08, you could go and relapse on pills and you come back. Or an alcoholic can relapse on alcohol and they come back. But nowadays it's like, if you're doing anything other than you're just a straight alcoholic, when you go out and relapse, you got a high probability of overdose and dying. And then you're left with the devastation of the families, you know, and I've seen that over and over again. I've seen mothers, I've seen fathers devastated, broken. They don't ever get over that. You know, the parents, when they lose a child, that stays with them for life and they never forget that. And like, I watched that hurt and that burn be just as present as the day it happened 5-10 years later. And it's painful. And I feel like there's just so much pain right now, and there doesn't have to be. That's the thing. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. And we're so connected with social media now. I believe there's a lot that we could make happen. And I would love to be a part of that. I would love to somehow get together and do something like that. I just hope that a real discernible change happens, because I'm at this point, I'm afraid to even bring any more kids into this world, man. What's it going to be when my daughter's 18, 19 years old? What's the landscape going to look like in 5 years? If we keep it on the current trend where it's been since like 2019, 2020, and the upscale that it's been going, yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be insane. So that's where I am on the topic, guys.
Go ahead, Caesar. Are you going to say something? Seem like you're going to say something.
Stop watching my mute and unmute button, bro. Yeah, this is an important topic, but where I came from, I've used heroin for 20 plus years. And when I heard somebody died in a neighborhood, I ran towards that neighborhood because that was the good shit. That was my best thinking when I was out there is, oh, it's killing people. It's strong. It won't do that to me, but that's what I want. I feel blessed that I got into recovery before this epidemic, because I'd have been the first dumbass that ran towards this as opposed to took it as like a warning or anything like that. It's scary out there. I'll be in recovery in April, 10 years. And over the past five, I've seen more people die than I can count. It's just absolutely horrible out there. And Matt said it's not just the people that were like me. It's not the people that are opiate addicts, that are IV users. It's anybody that's going out and buying something off the street. You are at risk of overdosing on fentanyl because it's in everything. So I remember, and I don't quote me on this, I don't know how many years ago it was, but because I'm public with my story, most people know it. I was asked to be on these opiate town halls and these Narcan trainings. And this was when it was first getting publicized that they had to do something. So I sat on these panels with a judge, a sheriff, a mother, and also now city councilwoman now of someone that overdosed and died. And we're all on this panel together. And mind you, I'm not sober all that long at this point. And I'm up there with my tie on and I'm like, holy crap, how did I get up here with a pharmacist and a judge? And I got the sheriff's department sitting next to me, but my perspective was important because in a town hall, you've got all the people in the community sitting out there in the audience and they're asking questions. And the biggest question was, or the biggest statement is, I'm not going to enable my kids and have Narcan inside the house. I was like, you're not enabling anybody by having Narcan inside your house. You might be able to save your kid's life or your kid's friend's life, because having it in the house isn't going to make it, if the way I was when I was out there, that's not going to make me be like, oh, they're on board, I can shoot up a little bit more. I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm just trying to get where I'm trying to get. So we went around, I think I did three of these town halls in different areas. And the root was addressing the stigma of having this in your home, addressing the stigma of having this in schools and making sure it was more readily available, because I'm not on a level where the federal government can hear my voice, or really we can be as loud as we want. The problem is way bigger, and I'm not going to get into politics or any of that stuff. So what can I do here right now? And that first step was, let's get Narcan in as many hands as we can. We were going out to homeless camps and handing it out. We were doing everything we could. What's the next thing we can do? Make this recovery deal more accessible to everybody. Well, how do they find out about it? I have to open my mouth and share my story and talk about where I came from. If you look at my life from the outside now, and I never talked about my past, nobody would think to ask me anything about recovery or how do I get clean, how do I get sober, any of that stuff. I have to open my mouth up. I have to share my story. I have to share my experience. And then maybe somebody identifies and hears something and goes, okay, I'm sick of living like this. How'd you do it? So that's what we did. That's what the Hope Shot does. That's what all the local our RCO, the Local Prevention Coalition, everybody's working together to do what we can do to stop the flood of this shit. And I don't mean physically stop it, because I'm not Border Patrol. I'm not any of those things. But I am a person in long-term recovery that can share what I've got and try to reduce the stigma of somebody, so somebody can reach out and ask for help and not be ashamed to ask for help. So that the guy with the track marks in the freaking, that he can come out and go, hey man, like, how do I get out of this? We have to tell them there's a way out in the first place. Because when I was in the middle of my shit, I did not believe that there was a way out. I'm sure everybody on this screen can understand. Our perspective now is different. When I was out there, you were not going to scare me by telling me that there's fentanyl and everything. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Great. Got to do what I got to do. If scare tactics don't work, frothy emotional appeal doesn't work, what works? What works is us sharing our shit show of a life that we had and walking them through to where we found this beauty and this resource. And that's the only power we have in this thing right now, is sharing our recovery and making it accessible to everybody. So if you're still out there and you hear this message and you reach out, you got a lot better chance of having a tomorrow than you do if you don't reach out, because it's a gamble out there right now. You don't know what you're getting. And now it's 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the shit that's going to kill you. And it's just, it is, that's the way that it is. I don't know why some people live and other people die. I know that I shouldn't be sitting here, but I am. And I'm going to take every opportunity that I can to spread this message so somebody else can get the same shot that I got. Shit, overdose after overdose. I've been Narcan'd 5 times that I can remember, but Lord knows how many actual times, because I can't remember most of the stuff. Woken up in gas station bathrooms. By all rights, I should either be locked away for a lifetime or I should be dead. I definitely shouldn't be on the screen talking about recovery with you guys, but I am here. And we're going to use this platform to change as many minds and as many hearts as possible. Somebody had to show me and prove to me, really, that this was a better life than the one I was living. And the people that came before me that walked me through this thing said, hey, man, give us 30 days of your time. We'll refund your misery, or whatever the hell all the little slogans they have. You don't like it here, you could always go back out. I like it here. I learned how to laugh, a true laugh, not a fake laugh. I learned how to be okay with who I am as a person. I learned how to look in the mirror and not hate the person that was looking back. I got rid of all the guilt and shame, all the shit that kept me sick for so long. So you sit down and you share that with somebody that's brand new, and you tell them that there really is hope, and you let them know, hey man, this is where I came from. My arms are completely tattooed to cover track marks was the original plan with these tattoos, like the scars and shit that are on my arms and feet and everywhere. Like, that's who I am. That's where I come from. And if I can do this thing, you sure as hell could do this thing. And then we just drop a little bit of hope and a little bit more hope. And somebody hears it and somebody comes in, and then that person gives it to somebody else. And we're making ripples of good and of hope instead of the ripples of shit that we made in the past. Because our bad behavior, our addictive behavior, sent out ripples of pain to the people that encountered us. Now we're sending out ripples of hope. And that's our duty. We're alive. We're here. We were blessed with another day. I can rant and rave about what I think the government should do, but I go back to my program. I'm powerless over what other people do. My power is me, my hula hoop, my actions, my reactions, my thoughts. So I have to get to work. And that's the best way we can address this thing in the community. We can spread the message. I can get Narcan into as many hands as possible, but the tidal wave is going to be our voices, because we're limited to these little areas, but we have these big platforms. And Phil with his platform, our platform, everybody that's got a recovery platform, we reach thousands and millions instead of this little fishbowl that we live in. So we're doing it. We're recovering out loud. We're letting people know that there's hope, And that's our part in this deal. That's our part in this fight. We've stepped this thing up to a level of a nonprofit, an RCO. I can't even believe it, a building that people can receive services in. That's making change at this local level. And that's huge compared to what we ever thought we could do. Like, I never could have imagined that this thing would have grown to what it is. But really, even more powerful than that are these lives and sharing this thing, because we're reaching people in other countries, we're reaching people in other states, and we're letting them know that recovery is possible, and we're living proof. We share the shit so they can see where we came from, and we share the wins so they can see that, hey, man, it must be worth it. They keep coming back every single week and talking about it and laughing and having a good time. And we see people in the comments all the time. Shit, I relapsed, but I'm back. And what do we say? Do we go, oh, you're an asshole, you relapsed? We go, God, welcome back. Awesome. Stick around, man. I hope you hear something. That's it. You got to love people into this thing. You're not going to scare them into it, but you can love them into it. That's where this magic has been for me. If I had had somebody that, I don't know if, I'm sure you guys have heard the old timers, like, oh, you got to sit down and shut up, and you got to, what was it, take the cotton out of your ears and stick it into your mouth. And if you had talked to me like that when I first came in, I wouldn't be here. I'd have punched somebody right in the mouth and walked out the door. My experience was an experience of love, tolerance, patience for my dumbass, because I didn't know how to do anything. And I know Nathan relates to this. We'd been incarcerated so much. I missed so much life. I had no clue how to be an adult. I had no clue how to be responsible, reliable, manage my money. Didn't have any money. There was nothing to manage. And somebody took the time to walk me through this deal, show me how to live. And I truly, in my case, show me how to live. Like all the extras. Hey, this is how you write a resume. Just basic shit. You do that for somebody, and they're damn sure going to want to do it for the next person. Because when they get a hold of that, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that I'm sitting in this house on a daily basis. I'm shocked at the life that I have today. It's not like, it doesn't get old to me. I woke up in jail or incarcerated somewhere so much that this is still a miracle to me every single day. And I don't want to keep ranting on, because I know we got other people to talk, but that's it, man. That's our part in this. Share this message. Be available to be of service to somebody that needs you. Freaking drop everything when the phone rings and help somebody else to get outside of my cheap ass.
Caesar, you hit on a lot of good points, man. I love it. Staying in a hula hoop, just it's the little things that matter. You know, all of us think that you have to have a platform. You got to do this. You got to do that. What about in your local meetings or in your local community, just getting out there and just talking about it, talking to anybody, everybody. I think if we stop brushing it under the rug more and we start getting out there and telling people exactly what it's doing out here and where we're at, because I'll tell you right now, when I was a kid, man, we know things that most people don't know. If you're not hip to the game, you don't know what's going on out there. You have no clue. And being a kid, shit, man, what used to be so innocent back in the day, you can't even have fun anymore. It used to be fun because at one time it was fun. Yeah, it was fun at one time. Is innocent kid fun to just get screwed up with your friends and pop a couple pills and just have fun? But now, man, it's a death sentence.
You hear about high school kids that thought they popped a Xanax the first time they were going to pop a Xanax, and they're dead.
Yeah.
And
how many times have we done that shit in school? You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Too many.
I say all the time, I am so grateful that I got into recovery when I did, because this shit would have taken me out. I'd have been one of the first ones that was, because you can't scare an addict. You can't scare an alcoholic. You're not going to threaten me with, they're dying. I'm going to be like, okay, that's great for them. That ain't me.
Like the DARE program.
Watch me go. I'll prove it to you.
The DARE program was exactly that. Just say no.
If I could just say no, I would.
I'm just having fun.
And here, Nancy Reagan, if I could have just said no, I damn sure would have.
Hey, I got to cut in, man. Honestly, Caesar, you just gave me a paradigm shift, man. You really did, man. What's crazy is I don't know you. I've never met you or seen you before in my life. And there's three of you in my town, in my meetings, just like that. And just the way you put that across is going to alter the way that I communicate on my platform. Because like you said, man, I let my emotions get involved and I've been screaming at this, and I'll put out certain bits of content to the world and I'll say certain things and it falls dead. It falls flat. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I can say and point and say all this stuff is happening, it's over here and it comes in. That's like you just said, man, that's not going to be the change. The change is, and this is what was taught to me, is I have to demonstrate what this has done in my life. And I have to make this look attractive. I have to show that what these things have done, so the next person can see and be like, man, that kid was an absolute loser. And look at the life he gets to live today. Make it a show what it has done, man. So I'm super grateful for everything you just said, dude, because it just put some wheels spinning in my head. I could go about this entirely different. I can only affect what's in my immediate circle, you know?
I feel your passion. Like, it's March to Washington. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And there is a place for all of that. But my day in and day out, it's more important for me to do exactly what I'm doing and be that example in my community. If there's an opportunity to go do a march or do, you can absolutely write your congressman, write your senator. You can do all those things. But the majority of my focus has to be right here, boots on the ground, being a good example of recovery and being open to helping the people that are in my path on a daily basis. And that's where I can do the most good.
Oh, man, this subject, like Caesar was saying, it's the small things we do in our community, no matter how big or how small, because we started this platform. It was just to promote recovery, because the stigma that goes on people that have been in addiction, like they'll never change, just all the things. And not giving the person a chance to just be human, because we all make mistakes no matter what. So this platform was started because somebody was using the past to try to discredit me. And so we started this, man. We want to promote recovery because there's success stories out here that we need to talk about. We need to share it. We need to flaunt it. We need to scream it from the rooftops of what this program, what this recovery lifestyle gives. And I'll tell you right now, man, there's time people will come to me and be like, man, you guys are just doing such a big movement in this county. And I'm like, I don't feel like it, but you telling me helps me a lot. And if you would have told me 3 years ago, it's been 3 years since we started this thing, but 3 years ago that you'd be a nonprofit organization starting about to open a resource center in our county and help many people with sober living funds and getting them on their way, I would have told you you're crazy. Like, I still am in shock about what I'm doing these days, because, like, I was just a drywall contractor. I was just doing construction and that was it. Going to meetings, doing what I'm supposed to do. But it's such a rewarding aspect, man. When you try to, you get the people to, like, to their own recovery, you help them understand that they are worth it. They are worth getting into recovery. And that's how we save people on the low level. Now, like me and Nate went up to Tallahassee. If you really want to start doing some stuff, get out there. Your voice matters. We talk about this all the time. Your voice matters. No matter how big or how small. Sometimes remain anonymous, man. It's just, we can do that on our personal stuff, like on where we get it, where we subscribe to, and all this stuff, as Nate says. But we need to get out there and let people know that we're recovering out here and we're doing it. And it's starting to become a movement. And there's a lot more people that are doing it just in general. It's starting to be in a new trend. Like, people are seeing that, like, life is so much better on this side and anybody can get it. I was reading something earlier about being like our uniqueness. You know, we think we're just these unique people that just can't get it. Like, oh, these guys on the screen, they can get it, but I just can't. I'm not as good looking as Caesar. I'm not as suave as Nate. I can't rap like Matt. If you think about it, man, that's what I used to do. I'd be on the screen going, but me? Nah, that's not happening for me. And I'd already discredit myself. We did a show not too long ago about contentment prior to investigation. And it's almost like you're selling yourself short of being able to get this gift called recovery, because we think we're too down in the deep. We've done too much garbage. We've done too many people wrong. Nobody will forgive us. Everything is forgivable up to this point. Your life is worth it. You are worth it. And you deserve to have happiness and find it. And how do we do that? Well, first, we got to stop putting the shit in us to keep us all doped up and understand that you can get this too. And I know that there's some people probably watching that don't think they can. I know for a fact because I was the guy in the room, even with like a few months, I was like, oh, I don't even know if I can keep going like this because I just didn't feel like I was worthy of it. I didn't feel like I was worthy of happiness, even up to just even last year, man. I didn't feel like I was worth happiness, and it's misery, you know, and we're worth it. It's funny, man. Like I just talked about doing the, well, it's not funny. It's none of this is funny, but I was just talking about the innocence of this, doing, being innocent, just having fun. And we think that it can't happen to us. No, but no matter what, I don't do opiates. And I want to stress the fact that doing this, like there was a long time, like there was a long time. I stopped shooting up in 2011, right? I haven't done no hard stuff since 2011, but I was at the club, okay, crunked up, seeing old homeboy to get some powder, right? That was me. Oh, you're basic drunk and trying to stay up all night because I want to keep partying. Well, it's in there too. It's in the strip club, in the powder. So like it can affect anybody. Shit, Nate, we had somebody that never done it before, never done drugs. And they're just trying to, they had an injury and they just need something to soothe it over because they didn't get anything from the doctor and they're in pain. What? And then boom. So I'm grateful that I found recovery when I did. And somebody put in there the survivor's guilt, man, and it's real. It's real. The best thing we could do is just recover out loud. And the right people, the people that we think that will never get it, are going to show up at the right time when they're supposed to. And you're going to be there to answer the phone. You're going to be there to answer the phone when they need you. And you're going to show up when you need to, because that's what we do. All we do is we can plant seeds. Like we come on here every week. Why do we do it? It's because we're seed planters. We're out here planting seeds, and hopefully one day somebody is going to water that freaking seed that they got, and they're going to freaking find recovery and change their life. And they're going to come on here and tell us about it in their story, because we want y'all to come on here and tell about your story of recovery. You could be just like Matt. You could be on here with us talking up topics. It's just that simple. And I love how Caesar said that. It's a ripple effect. In my addiction, I was sitting here causing devastation, destruction. I was rippling out just misery, negativity. That's all I had. That's all I can produce out there. And now that we are in recovery, man, we're just planting seeds. We're just rippling out this recovery deal, no matter if it falls on deaf ears or not. And sometimes it will, but we're hoping that break down those walls that we think we're too unique. I ain't going to get it. Or you've done this a million times and you're just tired. You just feel like the relapse after relapse and you think you're never going to get it until you have a breakthrough. And it's going to be the best shit in your life. I promise you that. So that's all I got. All right, Nate, what's up with you?
Yo. All right. I don't really, I need to take a different angle on this because it's been talked about at great length. What everybody had to share is very poignant, very honest, very real. And I think I have to relate this all back into my personal recovery and my own journey, right? So, you know, in my own personal recovery, I have to always continue to look at what's the solution? I spent 20 plus years being the problem, being a part of the problem, focusing on the problem, creating the problem, manufacturing it, thinking that you're thinking about the problem and trying to work my way. Like, you know, so today I have to be very, very aware and vigilant about staying in the solution, right? How do we do that? How do we stay in the solution? First and foremost, like I have to prioritize my recovery, right? I have to prioritize like my relationship with my higher power. I have to be in the best possible condition to be of maximum service, first of all, for myself, so then I can be available to others. And like once I'm maintaining that, or I'm in a position to maintain it on a consistent basis, then I can choose how can I attack this problem, this epidemic, right? And it's a personal thing because I am a product of the epidemic. I was immersed. I was a part of that. It's funny because I was just hearing everybody share and I was thinking about, I got sober right when fentanyl was really getting really popular, right? And I remember getting some and overdosing on it. And I remember being in the hospital and somebody bringing me more and doing it in the bathroom. That's what we're dealing with here. And what we're not really dealing, and I just want to, just for everybody out there, I've seen a lot of comments on here, you know, I've never done opiates. This is all the same problem. you put a different drug, fill in the blank. Obviously, fentanyl is a little more deadly, but let's talk about the other, the more important death, like that spiritual death, that like death of hope and death of faith and death of worth and thinking I deserve anything different than what I've been settling for however many years, right? And that's the underlying stuff, right? We everybody knows how lethal, maybe everybody doesn't know, but everybody in this arena obviously understands how lethal fentanyl is. And like Caesar said, so what can I do to be a part of the solution and not the problem? And so for me, it's first and foremost is making sure that I am equipped, that I am prepared to deal with my own shit so I can maybe focus on somebody else's. And then I think that like the other important thing to think about here is that like how many families are affected by this, you know, like Justin and I and Caesar also, like we're constantly dealing with family members that are, you know, innocent and affected by this fentanyl crisis. We are in a position to be the voice is surreal in its own respect, right? That shit just blows my mind. And then, but since while we're here, while we're in a position to talk about some serious stuff and to possibly reach the unreachable, you know, this is a like a dire and serious responsibility that I have to take serious. I have to understand that how I live on a daily basis, how I show up in my community, how I show up in my family's life, how I show up is I am an example of what recovery could possibly look like. I'm not saying I'm the best example. I'm not saying I'm the only example. I'm just saying that if anybody knew how I used to be and know how I am now, they have to understand that recovery is possible. Right. So how do I translate that? And how do I translate that? And I translate that by the way I walk, by how I talk, by how I'm consistent, how I'm steady, how I have integrity and honesty and treat people with compassion and don't judge. I love the idea. And it's funny what the power of conversation, communication, honesty, vulnerability can accomplish. Right. Just in this short hour, Matt had a revelation from something Caesar said. And, you know, I'm seeing like the comments on here as well. The girl that was been struggling with meth addiction and, you know, I'm sure she's like, is this allowed? Right. That idea that she's doing something wrong by being honest. Like these are the things that we need to start talking about. Right. This because this is what we want to hear about that. We want to hear how you're struggling. We want to know how we can help you. And I really want to smash home this, there people like, I know how I felt. I felt like that I was not worthy of recovery. Like I didn't deserve it. And if you guys get anything out of this today, I want you to understand like there is a community of people waiting to love on you and dying to help you, like longing to help you. And they're, recovery depends on it, literally. And it's just surreal. It's surreal how just a short time ago, I was that guy and not just overdose in a bathroom, getting loaded from the same stuff that just nearly killed him. And a few years later, I get to go to Tallahassee and advocate for our community and to be a voice. I think most importantly is like to remain in the mindset of how to stay in the solution today. Because guess what? Like, if it's not fentanyl, it was heroin. If it's not fentanyl, it's methamphetamine. If it's really not the drugs as much as it is the underlying problems, the reason that these individuals, the reason why I got loaded. So it's a matter of just addressing what's really going on in our community, to get honest and vulnerable and talk about the things that we don't usually want to talk about. Whether it is fentanyl and how it's killing people, or whether it is the trauma that causes somebody to use fentanyl in the first place, or it's this being suicidal or feeling like I'm not worth it. These are all things that I've experienced, and I know other people on this screen have experienced as well. And we're here for it all, man. And if we don't know how to help you, if we don't have personal experience with what you're going through, I promise we know somebody that does. I'm grateful to be in a position to be a part of the solution today instead of the problem. And as long as I can keep my priorities and show up first and foremost to who I believe in, and then secondly, in my recovery, then I can get closer. And I don't know where, we don't know where the Hope Shot's going. We don't know where the next, what the next drug is going to be, or we don't know, but we, what we do have control of is our personal recovery, our own trajectory, and the willingness and what I am capable of putting into that on a daily basis. That is what I choose to focus on today, because I can't change who's president. I can't change if you want me to wear a mask or not. I can't change how the drugs are getting here, or, you know, how lethal they are. But what I can do is figure out how to be a part of the solution and not focus on everything that's happened externally. But how can I better myself? How can I become more spiritual? How can I become more loving? How can I become more compassionate? So when the time comes, and it's coming, because, you know, we're in the field that we're in, we deal with this on a daily basis, that I am prepared to the utmost to be of service to the best of my ability, and to have the resources to get somebody some help if they need it, if I can't provide that for them. So, yeah. Good stuff tonight, guys.
I went to a service for someone that passed because of this crap on Saturday. This guy was in recovery for a decade and went back out. And you think it's going to be this somber event. And all these guys get up and talk about what he had done for them. That message of hope that he had brought them. And how it went out from person to person. And then his father got up. And it was unbelievable. His father got to see the good that came from his life. We all know how bad it is. He lost his life to this deal. His father said 200 people showed up to the hospital. And of those 200 people, 75 took time to share their personal story of how his son had helped them get on track and better their lives. And he said that the big point was his life, he didn't die meaningless. His life was not without meaning. That man can rest knowing that even though the worst thing happened to his son, that all this beauty came out of it, though. His life was not for nothing. And we have to share our stuff with the families. Like, we have to open our mouths to the families, the ones that are torn apart from a death that they don't understand at all, because they're not where we are. It's our job to comfort and let them know that it's not for nothing, that something good will come out of this. And it was just, I thought it was going to break my heart when he got up there, because you could tell he was fighting tears. And then it just had me smiling ear to be able to hear that he got to see it, because We're usually in anonymous programs. They don't get to see all the work that somebody does in a program, and it's dangerous out there. And this guy slipped up and he went out, and he was out for a little while and he died because of it. But that doesn't negate all the good that this guy did. And his dad can lay his head on the pillow at night and go, God, man, what a guy my son was. Like, he had this disease and the disease took him out. But look what he did while he was in this deal. And that meant the world to that man. So I'm glad you brought up the families, Nate, because that's just as important in our work to bring them in and bring them comfort and bring them peace.
Yeah. That's, they might be using the drugs, but the family goes with them all the time. You know, it's the ripple effect to the family as well. Matt, you want to say something?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize I was going to be in here with some such heavy hitters, man. Definitely, Nate, what you had to say, again, just more eye-opening. I like how you touched on solution. And when you said that about there being people out there that love you, somebody said that to me. I don't remember what he looked like. He was just a counselor, some random rehab. He said, there's people out there that love you, I haven't even met yet. And that's, I think, a good way to tie this thing together would be just touch on solution. And I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. But, you know, for me, the solution, what does this look like? You got one day sober, you're thinking about getting sober, you go through a treatment center, you do your 30 days, you get out, you're back in the community. What do you do? For me, I work a 12-step program. Doesn't matter the letters that are arranged. I just go, I pick them, I show up. I find people that I connect with spiritually and people who have something that I want. And that's people that talk about the literature, are based in a higher power. I choose to call mine God. And the program that I'm in, it's not spiritual. You don't need a certain God to get in it. It's not religious. It's a spiritual program. But for me, I call it God. That's what I follow. And I put myself around men that are actively pursuing that relationship with their higher power, or pursuing this recovery and they're active in their communities. So like I would find people like Caesar, I'd find people like Nathan, like Justin. I go put myself right up next to him. I'm gonna walk up to him and ask him for the phone number. And then when they give me that phone number, I'm gonna actually call him. I'm gonna text him. And then when you do that for people like that, that lights them on fire, man. So if you got one day and you're nervous and you walk into these rooms, we're waiting for you to come in and put that hand up. We want you to, because we don't exist without you. We don't exist without the people who don't have that one day sober. It's how we give this away, is how we keep it. So that's what I've done. And I still have so much to learn, guys. I have a year next. I've been doing this in and out for like 5 years. And every time I get on, I find out that I don't know that much. But the cool thing is I can always learn more. I can learn as much as I want. Nobody can stop me from that. And I'll follow both of these men right here now, because I want them and their information to pop up in my spectrum, my field, because I know it's going to feed my spirit in different ways. And they're going to say different things that are going to hit me in a different way, like they have tonight. I didn't expect for it to go in this direction, but I'm walking away with something this evening. I'm grateful for that. And yeah. I hope that it seems like a daunting task and it's terrifying when you're staring down the barrel of it from day one. But I promise you, if you step into this and you work willingly, there are Justins and Caesars and Nathans in your communities, wherever you're at across the world. And you can step right up and you can go up and ask them, man, you can get lit on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yo, you want fun fact? I did not know Nathan and Caesar before this. There's a fun fact for you. Okay. When you are walking in the right path, right? The right people will be put in your place and that will change your world. And I promise you. And it's a fact. But it's all these signs are, I was listening to a podcast earlier. It's called Synchronicity, right? The right things happen at the right moment and it all aligns and it just flows with it because you're flowing with it. You know what I mean? You're just going with the stream of life and you're not trying to resist it as much as it used to, because you could pass all these opportunities and all these miracles that are before you. And like Matt was just saying, you guys help us more and we help you. And it's just the way it is. Like I see miracles every single day that strengthen my recovery every single day. And if I'm never open to that fact of miracles happening, I'm never going to see it. And I'm never going to strengthen my own recovery because I am blind to the fact. We see it as certain lenses as we grow through this thing. And what I see this year is not what I seen last year. And I keep growing and keep growing. And most of the time, the pain that you're in right now, you're about to hit a breakthrough. So be prepared. You know what I mean? Yes, you're about to hit a breakthrough. And that's just what it is, man. If you're experiencing pain right now in your recovery and you think that you hit a wall or a ceiling or whatever, you're about to hit a breakthrough if you just figure out what it is that you're experiencing and keep going forward. Don't let it take you out.
Yeah. And the flow and the energy and the forward movement, it all lies in seeking. Whatever you choose to call this power, in the seeking of that power, through the seeking, through the pain, through the questioning, be like, yo, God, what the fuck, bro? Like in all those lack of faith and no hope, like you are closer to your truth than you've ever been in that space. So just continue asking the questions, continue moving forward, continue seeking, because that's when we're closest to this power. Like in this wonderful book, The Surrender Experiment, right? It says, choose life and go with the flow, right? What's that mean? To me, I implement, and this comes from a mentor of mine that I got this from, but it's choose my source, choose God, choose my higher power and go with the flow, right? And in that mind state, I'm constantly seeking. I'm trying to learn something new. I love what you said, Matt. We're still figuring it out. I promise you, we don't have all the answers, but we are open-minded enough. We have an open mind, an open heart, an open spirit in order to receive however the lessons look from whomever they're meant to come from. They don't have to come from somebody with 20 years or anybody sober. They can come from somebody that's still sick or not even in the program. And it's just a matter of putting ourselves in that path. Like you said, you get next to the people that are doing what you want or have what you want. So that's all I have. I know we're late.
Yeah, no, we're never late, bro. Yeah, but we can do this for 2 hours if we wanted to. But yeah, man, this is a good topic. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on tonight with us and sharing this topic with us so we can address it, man. Address it more and get out there and put it out there. And to anybody that's out there struggling right now, man, get in recovery. Find your people. Find your tribe. Get out there in your community. The people that are in recovery with some success, that has sustainable recovery right now, get out there. No matter how small your voice you think it is, you have a voice and it should be heard on a bigger level. We need to have a movement of recovery in our local communities, every community, and then we can build up from there. It starts with the local and it goes out, just like everything else. Thank you all for being here tonight. Have a great week. Love y'all. We'll be right back.